Dear congregation, the psalmist here makes it abundantly plain that God's word is far more precious than thousands of gold and silver. In certain parts of the world, there is such a hungering after God's word, and the people so treasure God's word. In parts of China and other places, just a page or so is so treasured, and they share it around different families. In South America, there is a great hunger at this present time. And we believe that more and more in this world will treasure God's word. For we believe the promise in Isaiah 11 verse 9, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." You see there, the word of God being made known, and so the knowledge of the Lord will be known all over the earth as the waters cover the sea. Well, we have before us tonight a book to treasure and to value. And why? Because it is God's glorious word. It is the word of our glorious triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It is a book to read, to meditate upon day and night, as we see the psalmist doing so in Psalm 1. It is a book to sing from and a book to hide in our hearts. We considered already in this psalm that we're to hide God's word in our hearts that we might not sin. Or to hide it in our hearts for that benefit, but also for the benefit of being built up, for the benefit of being strengthened within, for the benefit of knowing comfort and joy in our hearts. Dear congregation, this is a very precious book. The finest gold cannot compare to it. Just turn over the page to verse 127. And here the psalmist says, "Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold." Here in our text tonight, we see how he values the word. In verse 127, we see how he loves the word. It's more precious than gold, and he loves it so much more. In Psalm 19, verse 10, we read, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." Such a desire the psalmist had. And he exhorts others and he exhorts us to have such a desire continually for the word of God, to so treasure it, to so value it, to esteem it and to hold it as something most precious. "Sweeter than honey and the honeycomb," says the psalmist. Listen to Spurgeon. "Instructed Christians recognize the value of the Lord's word and warmly express it, not only in their testimony to fellow men, but in their devotions to God. It is a sure sign of a heart which has learned God's statutes when it prizes them above all earthly possessions. And it is an equally certain mark of grace when the precepts of Scripture are as precious as the promises. The Lord calls us thus to prize the law of his mouth." It is precious, isn't it? And we'll consider just a little tonight of the preciousness and how we're blessed through the word, oh, to value it more and more in these days of declension here in this country. Oh, to value the word of the Lord more and more. Now, as we come to this verse, it's important to consider the previous verse to lay the context. Just come with me to verse 71. "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." He had been afflicted. We can consider in light of the previous verses to that, he had suffered persecution, the affliction of persecution. Yet he's benefited. He's been built up through the word. He so values the word, though his enemies may have many in their storehouses, He has been blessed through the word. Just notice the blessing in verse 15. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. So he has learnt afresh in affliction the value of the word of God. And dear brothers and sisters, we often learn that, don't we? How precious this book is in affliction. Yes, we've learnt it when things are a little easier, but we learn it often, do we not, in affliction. How precious is the word of God. Now, if we were to consider a pair of balances or a balance, we put the silver and the gold on one side, and then on the other side, the word of God. Which way in your mind and your heart tonight do the balances tip? I trust that the balances tip one way, and that we all are considering this, that they tip towards the word of God. Consider the psalmist here. He puts God's word on one side, and he puts the thousands of gold and silver on the other side, and the balances tip to the word of God. Now, David was a wealthy man. Yes, his enemies, as already mentioned, had their wealth. David was a wealthy man. Yet his heart was not set on his riches. His heart was for the word of God, as we see here. Just consider King David, all the wealth he had, the gold and the silver. But what was it to him compared to the word of God? In Psalm 62, verse 10, we read, trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. If they increase, they may not. But if they do, set not your heart upon them. Joseph Carrill, the Puritan, wrote, if a man have riches or an increase in riches, it is not unlawful for him to think of them, yet we should be as sparing of our thoughts that way as may be. Our thoughts and the bent of our souls should always be upon God. But that which the psalmist forbids is the settling of our hearts, as if he had said, let not your thoughts stay or dwell there. Set not your heart upon them. Now riches can be of use, but oh, let us ever make sure our hearts are set on God's word. Now if we consider the word of God, the Lord has blessed certain ones, like Abraham. And particularly we read of Isaac, how the Lord blessed him. And there was increase. David, as already mentioned, he was a wealthy man. God has blessed certain ones. And in these days, God has blessed certain ones to the benefit of the cause of Christ. Missionaries have been sent out. Churches have been maintained. Colleges established. We can think of much that has been done through the benefit of those who have had much in the way of wealth. And there is much to be done. As we look to the future, the support of the churches, the establishing of new ones, the support of the pastors, the support of the poor Christians, the support of the widows, as we see in the New Testament, more missionary work needs to be done in this country, in the towns and villages. Further distribution is needed of the word of God into the hospitals, prisons and schools. And then as we think of the younger generation, there must be a redoubling of the efforts of the Reformed Church to reach the children of this country. Certain groups are pushing their agendas. We must do what we can, so that they hear of Jesus Christ. Oh, much more needs to be done. We need wealthy Christians to be able to give. So much more could be done. And we make it a matter of prayer. Christian care homes to be established in this locality for those that need them. Silver and gold would be a help in these areas. And we are right to pray that the Lord would raise up certain wealthy Christians so that more can be done. But having said this, the balances tip towards the word of God. And right at the outset, let me ask again, do the balances tip towards the word of God in your life? We have certain possessions. We have certain things of this world. But do the balances tip towards the word of God? Now notice what the psalmist said here. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. The law of thy mouth. He's thinking of the word of God. Psalm 68 verse 11. The Lord gave the word, breathed out by God. The Puritan Thomas Watson wrote, we are sure that it came from heaven. It came from heaven. It came from the heart of God. The Lord gave the word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. In 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 13, the apostle gives thanks. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. See how they received it? In Thessalonica, as the word of God. That's how we receive it. That's how the psalmist received it. For the law of thy mouth. Now just before we consider the preciousness of the word, certain aspects for the remaining part of this sermon tonight, just consider the psalmist is addressing the Lord. The law of thy mouth. He knows it's God's word. He speaks to God of it. And it's good to speak to God of his word. And to show to God that we value the word of God. It's interesting, isn't it? We can speak to others. We can speak to others of the word of God. How precious, what a benefit it's been. And you continue to do that. But let's speak to God himself. The law of thy mouth is better unto me. Tell God tonight. Tell him tomorrow how much you appreciate his word. Oh, we could just pause here tonight. If that be so, we need to be reading and meditating upon the word of God each day, delighting ourselves in it. Coming prayerfully to it. Tell God, oh, to tell God every day that we so value his word. The law of thy mouth. He knows how precious his word is. He gave it. But oh, let us, his people, tell him. You remember when we consider love? The Lord knows that we love him. But let's tell him. Tell him often that we love thee. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. The Lord knows, but tell him. The Lord knows his word is precious. The Lord knows that we hold it as precious. But tell him. And let me say one more thing earlier, further rather. It's an aid to sanctification. It's an aid to walking in a holy path by keep telling God how much the word means to you. You see, if we leave it a while in telling him, it may be because we're drifting, but you seek to focus on God and his word. Tell him every day, thy word is so precious to me. Oh, that the Spirit would so stir our souls and that we might be blessed with the word each and every day. That we might respond. And there's one more thing. Let's tell him in song. Let's praise him. Remember, these words are written to be sung as well. The law of thy mouth. That's how we began tonight, wasn't it? In Psalm 19, praise God by declaring how much you love the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 127. But also here, how much you value God's word. Let me hear thy voice, we read in the Song of Solomon. Let's tell him in prayer. Let's tell him in song. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. The law of thy mouth. Well, for the remainder of the time then. Let's consider first of all, and be very brief. Why is the word valued by the true believer? Why is the word valued by the true believer? We see here the psalmist, David, speaking of the word to the Lord and showing to the Lord how much he values it. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Now, why was David found speaking to the Lord in this way, showing that he valued the word? David valued the word, but so many in his day did not, as in our day. There are so many who do not treasure the Bible. Many refuse it. We see that often, do we not? We carefully offer them a Bible, maybe on the doors, but they refuse. Maybe just a few verses of scripture, but there's a refusal. There's such a blindness in this country at this present time. Go to South America. There's a great hunger for the word of God, but not in this country. There's such a blindness. The apostle wrote in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He knows not the things of the Spirit of God. There's such a blindness. But in contrast, the believer sees, the believer values, the believer knows the preciousness of the word. There has been an enlightening. That's why we value the word of God. Now, many are dazzled by the gold of this world. The other day, I was down at Hainsby Head. I went into the visitor centre and I picked up a little pot of fool's gold. It didn't look much. But you know, there are many who are dazzled by the gold of this world. But the believer, they gaze on this book as precious. Last week in London, the committee of the Trinitarian Bible Society gathered round the very old Bible to look upon it. And we looked on it intently. It's a really old Bible. And it's going to be presented to the General Secretary who retired. And the craftsmanship. And you just looked at the cover and the gold gilt edge and the imprints and the inscription. Of course, we also gaze on the word of God with delight, the words. There's this gazing on this book with delight. We're taken with the word, are we not? Because our eyes have been enlightened. In Ephesians 1 verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. There's been an enlightening. There's a seeing. There's an understanding. There's a knowing. There's a knowledge of the word. There's a saving knowledge of God. The Holy Spirit has worked within. That's why we treasure this book. We came to see there was something precious, did we not, in effectual calling. And we hold this book as precious because our eyes have been opened over the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what we must pray for. I was struck the other day by the parable of the sower. Hearken, behold, a sower went out to sow. Listen, consider, see. There's the importance of sowing the word of God, but oh, for the Holy Spirit to sow work. Oh, to see the result of his work. Over the last few weeks, we've faced a number of storms, and we've all borne witness to the effect of the storm. We've not seen the wind, but we've heard it. We've felt it. We've seen the results, haven't we? Remember what Jesus said in John 3 verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whether it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. We cannot see the Holy Spirit, but we're able to witness the result of his work. Oh, that the Holy Spirit will be going around this area, and that we will see the result of his work. Now take comfort. Ordinarily, faith is put within through the hearing of the word of God by the Holy Spirit. Keep sowing the word, distributing it, speaking a verse, pointing sinners to Christ. And all be in expectation that the Holy Spirit will work. Oh, to see the result of his movement in this area. Conviction, a drawing to Christ, people being enlightened. I want that Bible. I want to know more of Jesus. Why do people say certain things like that? It's because of the Holy Spirit. What's our prayer in the Song of Solomon 4, verse 16? Awake, O north wind. Awake, O north wind. I remember a number of years ago, there was a panel out in America. And certain ministers were on this panel. I believe there was Pastor Jeff Thomas, Reverend John Fackway, and the Reverend Malcolm Watts. And someone in the congregation asked, is it right to pray to the Holy Spirit? Now, of course, we come to our triune God. But is it right to pray to the Holy Spirit directly? Well, we know that our Lord taught in that pattern prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We focus particularly on the Father, and our prayers are heard through the Son, and we're helped through the Holy Spirit. Yet we do see in the Song of Solomon a direct prayer to the Holy Spirit. Awake, O north wind! And if you look at the old commentators and the old Bibles with cross-references, you see that prayer and you're led to those words of Jesus in John 3 verse 8, where we consider the wind and the work of the Holy Spirit. And so we humbly pray, awake, O north wind. Come, Holy Spirit, to this village, to this forest, to the surrounding towns and villages. Oh, for the Holy Spirit to awake and the wind to blow, that there will be a convicting of sin, that sinners will be led unto Jesus, that there will be this enlightening, that they would be found knowing and looking unto Jesus, and they will be found believing the word of God. All for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And all for more of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Awake, O north wind. Song of Solomon 4 verse 16. Come, Holy Spirit, thou who dost dwell in my life. Romans chapter 8. Come, blow, that I might see more of the preciousness of the word of God. And I might be led to consider more the preciousness of Jesus. Awake, O north wind. May he blow in our hearts tonight. May he blow in this area in coming days. That there would be a seeing. And that along with us, many would yet treasure the word of God. Let's keep sowing the seed. But oh, let's pray for the Holy Spirit to awake and blow across the soul. Well, as we draw to a close tonight, we'll make a start here on the second point, but we will not be able to get through it all. The value of the word of God. The value of the word of God. Verse 72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. It's precious. Let's consider first of all, it gives me a knowledge of God. It gives me a knowledge of God. Isaiah 54 verse 13. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. They shall be taught of the Lord through the word, and they will have a knowledge of the Lord. How blessed we are to know God. You remember those words in Jeremiah? I will give them a heart to know me. A heart. The eyes of our understanding have been enlightened. We've read in the word and We're beginning, aren't we? I say we're beginning to know of God. Some of us have been beginning for a number of years, but throughout all eternity we'll still be just beginning to know God, because He is eternal. So great is God. But what a blessing that we know God. And we treasure this book because we're taught of the Lord, aren't we? Gold and silver, they can be a help to us in certain ways, but they cannot teach us of God, can they? And His glory and His greatness and His holiness, mercy and love. How does the Bible begin? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And we're taught of God. We know Him to be our creator. Oh, how great He is. So holy. Yet He dwells with us. So merciful. In Psalm 103, verse 17, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. We know God and we know a little of His mercy, and we've been taught it in the Word through the Holy Spirit, applying it. This book is precious, isn't it? It's taught us of God. Secondly, it was used in my salvation. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. What doth it profit a man if he hath the whole world and loses his own soul? In this area, men have much in the way of wealth. But I pity them because their lives are so empty, so many of them, because they do not have the Lord Jesus Christ. How rich we are in Christ Jesus. We have the unspeakable gift in our life. Unspeakable. We begin to consider Christ and His loveliness and who He is, the graces, the excellencies, and we're lost in wonder, aren't we? The unspeakable gift, and we have Him in our hearts. We are so rich in Christ, which was used in my salvation, this book. Remember those words in Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How often the Holy Spirit has used the word of God. It's been applied. There's been that convicting word. But also one has been shown the suitableness of Jesus. One has been led unto Jesus. Faith has been put within. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1 verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. How the word is so often used to bring about a change, a wonderful change in a man's life. How God has used His word. We believe the word. We believed in Jesus. These words came to mind as I was thinking of this point. You remember Peter? What did he say to that lame man who was at the temple? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now we think, yes, there a particular work that was done through Peter. But what could silver and gold do? But oh, what the Lord did. And how that man was blessed in his heart as well. How we've been blessed through Jesus. We've been saved. All the gold in the world could not bring about salvation. But Jesus Christ has. And we've come to hear of Christ. And the Lord has used the word in us being saved. It leads us to consider thirdly. We just pause after 2 points. It tells me of Jesus, thirdly. It tells me of Jesus. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. It's priceless, isn't it? As we think, it tells me of Jesus. On the road to Emmaus, Jesus opened up the scriptures concerning Himself. What a sermon that was. Quite a long sermon, wasn't it? He preached all the way to Emmaus. Those miles. What a sermon. Began at Genesis all the way through to Malachi. Luke 24, verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Genesis, he was the one walking in the garden. Genesis 3, verse 8. The seed of the woman, Genesis 3, verse 15. And on we could consider Shiloh in Genesis. And then Exodus. The Lord there in the wilderness. Come to Job. I know that my Redeemer liveth. How many have found those words so precious? I know that my Redeemer liveth. My Deliverer, my Redeemer. He has saved me. He will help me. He will keep me. He will preserve me. He will deliver me at death. And I know him. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Come to the Psalms. You're presented with Christ the King. The King, the glorious King, the King higher than all the kings of the earth, Psalm 89. You're presented with the covenant of grace that made with Christ, Psalm 89, verse 3. We're led to consider his incarnation. And in Psalm 22 and Psalm 40, we listen to Jesus speaking of his incarnation. We consider his early life in Psalm 71. You read Andrew Bonar. I love this little remark by Andrew Bonar on Psalm 71. Glimpses of his early life. Glimpses of his early life. Psalm 71. His public ministry. Psalm 40. His sufferings and death through so many of the Psalms. His resurrection. His ascension. His reign. His coming again. How often we are led to consider Jesus in the Psalms. And you know, we've come to love and hold the Psalms more precious, like the psalmist did, because we see more of Jesus. We value the Psalms because we're led to the foot of the cross. We value the Psalms because we hear the voice of Jesus. We come to the Song of Solomon. My beloved. How often our hearts have been melted by those words. My beloved is mine. How we value the Song of Solomon. His desire. His kingly beauty. Yea, he is altogether lovely. How often the Lord has used those words to make us stop and consider the loveliness of Christ. And you cannot learn that from all the gold in this world. And all the silver, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Come to Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government should be upon his shoulder, and his name should be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. How precious those words are. One may be dazzled by the gold, but we're taken by Christ in Isaiah. For his name is Wonderful Counselor. How he so guides us with such skill through all the forests and all the valleys. And so we respond, all things work together for good. He's the mighty God who carries us. The everlasting Father. A lovely truth about Jesus there. We're not thinking of the Father there. We're thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. In a fatherly, caring way, Jesus leads us. Isaiah 40, verse 11. The Prince of Peace. Oh, to fall down before the Prince of Peace. Oh, the calm that can come to the soul. Oh, as we consider Jesus there in Isaiah. The word is far more precious than gold, isn't it? Because we're led to consider Jesus. Consider the gospel. I often think of those words in Luke 2, verses 10 to 11. They just strike me. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. That's the gospel. Just in a few words. good tidings of great joy. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. I remember a number of years ago, we sat in this old house in the village, and there was this lovely coal fire. The chimney smoked a bit, and I always smelled the coal and the smoke. But I remember talking to this gentleman as I read those words, and he said those words, "There's nothing like it, is there? Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." What good news it is! Proverbs 25, verse 25, "As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country, the good news from heaven. And it's brought us delight. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." Fourthly, it directs me in this dark world. How we need direction. How the Holy Spirit uses the word. Psalm 119, verse 105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." How the Lord has guided us through the word. How often we've been praying. Then suddenly we come to our consecutive reading and a verse comes home to us. You know, 2 days ago, I was reading in my consecutive reading, "Whether by many or by few." What an encouragement. Fifthly, and we'll stop here. The preciousness of the word. The value of the word. Fifthly, it comforts me in affliction. It comforts me in affliction. Verse 50, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy words have quickened me." I remember a number of years ago on the other side of the forest, there was a certain lady, and she was poorly. Her husband was a very wealthy man. The business had grown. I was told that he hardly had 50p to his name a number of years previous, but then the business grew, and he drove this great big white car. I can't remember the name of it. My son would, but I can't remember the name. I do remember nearly 20 years ago, each tyre costing £150. Well, his wife was very poorly, and he was troubled. He had all this wealth. But it couldn't change the situation. And he didn't know comfort. And his wife, she grew worse. And it made him think for a little. What can all the silver and the gold really bring to someone in affliction compared to the word of God? Yes, wealth may mean that one may be a little more comfortable. But it's nothing, is it really, compared to the blessing of the word in affliction. "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." My comfort. And how often the Lord has drawn near in affliction. How often the wind has blown across our soul and the Spirit has applied the word. And we find the preciousness of the promises. Sometimes one may struggle, but then the Holy Spirit applies the word and we find comfort. "Peace I leave with you." Every Monday for a couple of years, I used to see my granny, and she struggled. She lacked assurance. But you know what helped her? John 14, verse 27. "Peace I leave with you." And you saw there the Lord applying the word and how the Lord has applied the word in our afflictions. There's been this quickening, as we see in verse 50. "Thy word hath quickened me." We feel so weary, so weak. Something happens. The Lord applies the word. We feel strength. We may not be able to get out of bed. We may still feel weak, but we feel strong within. "The Spirit is willing," we say. There's this quickening. How precious is this book. When we feel our souls being lifted. A lifting for the downcast. A strengthening for the weary. It's my comfort in affliction. "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than all the thousands of gold and silver." Think of the balances again. Think of all the wealth one could have, the gold and the silver, and then the word of God on the other side, which way are the balances tipping in your mind and in your heart? One way. And we're telling God. Tell God now. Tell God tonight. Let's tell him at this prayer meeting. Let's tell him before we go to bed. Let's tell him in the morning how precious thy word is. And it is, isn't it? We know the precious Saviour. Unto you who believe, he is precious. And where have we discovered so much of the preciousness of Jesus? It's in this book. May the Lord help us to treasure this book more and more, for his name's sake. Amen.